Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Look who's with me today. Look who made it back. You're here.
Part of me is here.
Okay.
You know when they say leave it on the field?
That's right.
Leave it on, I left mine in my bathroom or left mine
so badly. I wanted to tell the story yesterday and I didn't because I was going to save it for you. For when you were
I'm not talking about it.
So I'll tell it because here's what happened. You know, I'm on my way to...
Preserve my image and reputation.
I will. Okay. I will because you... Yeah, well, I'll do my best. No promises. So, I'm on my way to the office at a ridiculous hour of 4:30 in the morning on a Saturday. I understand.
Sunday.
Oh, yeah, that was Sunday. That's right. Yeah. Oh, that's right, because today's Monday. That was the kind of weekend it was. So, I'm on my way to the office at 4:30, and I get a phone call from this fellow right here sitting next to me. And
Because I was supposed to meet you at the office.
Right. Because we were going to do podcasts yesterday.
We were going to work tomorrow, yesterday.
And he goes, Bernie, can you come to my house? I said, yeah, okay. And he says, okay, hurry. And then hangs up. And my mind is just going. And so I'm racing to your place. Because you don't live too far
Wondering
from
who's
me.
Dead.
I'm thinking... Okay, so I'm going through the list of kids. I'm going through all these different things. I'm thinking, okay, so I got room in my car. If we got to put somebody in the back, I've got a little tarp thing so that if we need to like protect the seats from blood or anything, I don't know what's going on.
Jesus.
What's happening?
Sorry.
So I get there and I pull into the driveway and I see your wife walk by the window and I'm thinking, okay, this is pretty early for her
pretty
to be up. And then your daughter walks by, and I'm thinking, okay, now it's really early for her to be out. There must be something really big going on.
Right.
And I walk in, and it just splash.
Right.
There was about a quarter inch of water on half of the floors of half of your house, just about.
The back half of the house. I mean, it was floating, and everything was soaked, and there was water in the back half of a... pretty big house.
So at some point in the middle of the night, one of the pipes broke, mm-hmm. and you got a flood.
I got up at 3 or 3:30 to meet your crazy self here.
Yeah.
You know, get up at the regular time.
Yeah.
And I thought, I heard water running. I thought, wow, who's taking a shower at this hour of the night, morning, whatever it was. And I looked down the hall, and I thought, well, the door's open, so why would anybody be taking a shower with the door? But as soon as I hit the hall, I got that same splashy kind of thing. And I said, uh-oh. But I thought it was a toilet overflowing or a bathtub or something. I didn't know if they're just going to find a body in the bathtub. You know, But anyway, a feed line to the toilet had burst, and it was a geyser of water shooting up into my bathroom.
That's funny. Well... So we spent a couple of hours yesterday morning vacuuming up
water
and drying up things, and so then you had to spend the rest of the day at home
doing
with the plumber.
And the plumber came and finally got everything turned off. And
I know.
And I wasn't able to shut everything. Normally, there are shut-off valves.
Yeah.
There are two ways that you can shut off water to your house.
That was the challenge.
Neither one worked.
I
couldn't shut off the water supply.
Right.
So I was panic-stricken because there was no way to shut off the geyser.
Right. So
and there should be. There should be two ways to shut it off.
Right.
Neither one of them was working.
Yeah. Well, we finally got one of them off.
You did.
So that we could get it... so that we could manage the turmoil, but
that's right. And we had turmoil after we got it shut off.
Right.
Got it shut off.
Your daughter was so funny. She says, "What are you doing up at this time?" I was like, "I'm going to work." What are you talking about?
It's morning.
You should be in bed asleep.
Nah.
So, so that was yesterday.
So I missed you guys yesterday because I was trying to clean out my house.
That's right.
Took all day, and it'll probably go on through today and tomorrow.
But the good news, you're here today.
Here back at it this morning.
Here and back again, or
right.
There and back again would
right.
be from The Hobbit.
Right.
But so,
but I missed you yesterday, so you had to do a solo.
That you know, I used to do them alone at times before, but it is tough to do podcasts alone now. Mm-hmm. I found myself stammering and floundering a little bit at times yesterday. So, but yesterday I talked about freedom versus determinism.
Right.
And today we're going to do rationality versus irrationality.
Okay.
And so we're going to continue that conversation throughout the week. But yeah, it was really difficult yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Plus, you were tired from sucking up all that water.
I wasn't tired.
Oh no, you don't. That's right.
I don't get tired. Well, I recorded it a little bit later yesterday than usual. Yeah.
Okay.
So let's get into today's.
Okay.
Where we're talking about rationality versus irrationality. And just as a quick introduction, reintroduction perhaps, mm-hmm. we're focusing this week on some of the five continua that are, right? That's the plural for continuum.
I like it.
Right?
See what I meant. See what you miss.
This is what happens. I have to learn how to talk good.
Wow. Continua. Okay.
So the five continua of personality. And it's not the big five. We're very very well known to have the big five, which is like extroversion versus introversion and so on. And we'll talk about those another time. But this is the five, just five general continua for ways in which we see and think about and interact with the world around us.
Right, because when we talk about personality theory, if we're teaching it, we talk about personality theory, we talk about what we're trying to do is to explain why we behave as a species the way we behave.
Right.
And the way an individual behaves as he or she behaves. So personality theory tries to explain why we do the things that we do as a species and why we do the things we do as individuals.
Right.
And the most common, the most frequently cited theory is Neo-Pi.
Right.
And each one of those letters stands for, but what they are, those five letters stand for personality characteristics.
Right.
And as you say, each of those characteristics is on a continuum.
Right.
So you can have from freedom to complete freedom to complete determinism.
Right.
And most of us fall somewhere along that spectrum.
Right.
And it explains why you do the things that you do.
Right.
Because of how you define yourself, whether you feel that you have complete freedom or somebody else is making decisions for you.
Right. And the other piece to this idea is that it also influences how we evaluate and view others.
That's right. That's right.
And so if somebody does something that you don't like, well, if you're on the freedom end, then you feel like that person had complete choice in what he or
That's
she
right.
was doing. Whereas if you're on the deterministic end, you feel that they are, you know, the circumstances may have contributed to their choices.
Right.
Now, with the
and this has important social and political implications.
Absolutely.
Because if you feel that a person is, well, she made that decision to be that way, whereas another person might see, no, these are the effects of poverty. You know, she wouldn't have had a choice because she grew up in this impoverished, violent, abusive environment.
Right.
So it really, you know, can you hold her accountable? Whereas another person would say, oh yeah, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
She still is accountable for her actions. It has legal implications.
Right.
You know, you do that all the time in forensic work.
Absolutely.
Where you have to make a decision, or somebody's going to make a decision about whether this person was competent to make the decision or not.
Right, Yeah, so with rationality versus irrationality, so that's the continuum we're going to talk about today. What we're talking about here is the spectrum of the way in which people make decisions.
Right.
And so do you believe that people make decisions that are logical, that are based upon you know, sound evidence?
Right.
So that would be the rational end. Or do you feel that people make decisions that are driven by emotional and other irrational types of ideas and characteristics? And again, where you fall on this spectrum is going to influence or sort of explain how you understand people's behavior and how you understand your own behavior.
Right, because you will often hear people say, well, she's very logical, or she just it's a trust your gut thing. Do you trust your instincts? Do you trust your gut? Do you go with your emotions? Or do you go through a very rational or logical right. decision-making process.
Right.
And there again, you can see the implications for why individuals make the decisions that they make.
If absolutely.
If you put it on the rational versus irrational spectrum.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so absolutely. So when we think about this, the rational end.
Right.
All right, so what we're saying here is these tend to be people who are very, to use a different word, analytical, right? They, mm-hmm. Decisions are made for a purpose, and that purpose is typically informed by, again, sound evidence. There's a logic to mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. decisions and things that are done.
Right.
And that has its strengths and weaknesses, certainly. Certainly a strength is that it's an informed decision. It's a decision that is based upon, you know, mounting evidence mm-hmm. that this is the way that we should go.
Right.
While a weakness to it is that it is certainly lacking in emotion. So it's certainly a decision that's made without taking into consideration your own or the feelings and emotions of other people.
Right.
And so then it can come across very, very cold, very detached, and disengaged from right. from the other right. people around you. So that rational end, while it has some strengths, it certainly has some interpersonal, like you said a minute ago, it has those implications for interpersonal relationships.
Right. Well, I was talking to a reading specialist one time, and we were talking about different interventions for kids with reading disabilities. And at the time, I forget what the intervention was, but kids hated it. It was one of those mm-hmm. very prescriptive,
right.
follow
right.
the, you know, you do this and this and this and this and this. And I said, you know, there is research to suggest that this approach, even though kids hate it, is effective in teaching phonics. And her response was, yeah, but so would a cattle prod. You know, mm-hmm. it not just because it's irrational,
right.
because kids also have to like what they're doing
right.
if you want them to do it, you
absolutely.
Know, whether it's reading or anything else. If you want kids to read, it has to be an enjoyable experience.
Right.
Now we know, that was about 15 years ago, now we know that both the emotional and the cognitive parts of the brain are active mm-hmm. in the reading process.
Right.
You
know?
So
yeah.
so you want to have some kind of a balance. But yes, there are people who make these very just rational decisions.
Yeah.
This is this was the logic behind the decision.
Right, right.
Right.
So now the other end
is
sort of the much more emotional end right. of things. And so this is where we have irrationality.
Right.
So
right.
irrationality is the idea that people make decisions and their behaviors are guided through primarily right. through emotions, and as you were saying, sort of, you know, those mm-hmm. gut feelings. And that, too, has its
right.
strengths and weaknesses. Because,
right.
you know, when decisions are made primarily by emotions, it has that more connectedness with, you know, other people.
Right.
It strengthens sometimes relationships. Mm-hmm. But it's really taken into consideration the influence that our own behaviors have on others.
Right.
Now, certainly that can be a strength, but in and of itself, that can also be a weakness.
Sure.
Because yeah. now mm-hmm. we're talking about, you know, decisions are really difficult to make when you mm-hmm. have conflicting emotions.
Right.
You have emotion, or you have decisions that are made based upon emotions, and sometimes it's the wrong decision. Sometimes mm-hmm. we're driven to make decisions by emotions, and it's just the wrong decision.
And when we talk about irrationality, we're not talking about illogical or
right.
That we didn't think about it.
Right,
you know?
Right.
It's
still thoughtful.
Sometimes,
right.
sometimes an irrational decision can be an unconscious decision.
Mm-hmm.
We had a wonderful interview recently mm-hmm. with a researcher from Australia.
Right.
Okay? And he was talking about unconscious decision. That,
right.
The decision you're making is an unconscious decision.
Right.
That would be in this irrationality. And sometimes we do that.
Right.
It's just that it's not part of our conscious
right.
mind. It's part of our unconscious decision making.
Right.
And we do that all the time.
Right.
We don't know why we made the decision. So sometimes it's not that it's an irrational sense that it's not conscious
right.
and
right.
And logical.
Right, but much of this that we're talking about is because it can still be irrational while in the conscious mind, because
that's right.
You're thinking, you know, when you think, for example, you know, if you have to make a decision about a about moving, you know, you can make the rational, logical decisions to move based upon, you know, standards of living, the job opportunities, and you know, you can really look at it in a very black and white type of logical manner. Or you can say, yeah, but we'll be close to the beach.
You know, the other place this plays itself out is with athletic sporting events.
Mm-hmm.
So we had this, we have a Super Bowl. You have, you're doing football now, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Your soccer team.
Yeah, we just started back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we have foot, we have the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Right.
This past weekend.
Right. And so all the experts said Atlanta has the better team.
Mm-hmm.
In every regard, Atlanta had the better team.
Mm-hmm.
But you may decide that you want, for some reason, you like Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to root for the Patriots. Even though, logically, you the Falcon, the Atlanta Falcons are going to win.
Right.
You have this emotional attachment to Tom Brady or Belichick or whom, or you want somebody to win five Super Bowls.
Right.
So there's this irrational decision that you make that you're going to bet $1,000 on the New England Patriots, even though that's an irrational decision based on all the data. You do that with Chelsea.
Right.
And, doesn't matter.
And even though if you would have
even
if you would have made that bet, you would have won.
But it would have been an irrational decision.
It would have been an irrational decision.
Because all the data,
right,
all the data said Atlanta would, and in fact, until the fourth quarter,
right,
they were demolishing the New England Patriots.
Right.
So the experts were right.
And what is that, what I think is amazing is that these kinds of, you know, using, sticking with that example, the situation from the Super Bowl this year is a perfect example of what reinforces some of those irrational beliefs,
that's
those
right,
irrational decisions, because you can say, all right, you know what, I'm passionate about them. I know that they're underdogs. I know that they're not favored to win, but I'm going to bet on them anyways. And then you win, and then you think, I got to go with my gut next time.
You don't bet, do you? You don't get, right? You don't bet or gamble. But if you did, would, if you were a gambling person, would you ever bet against Chelsea?
No.
No, you couldn't do it emotionally.
No. No.
Even though they might be the underdog.
If they were the underdogs, I would bet on a draw, a tie. I would never bet.
You would
that
never
they
bet
would,
against them. That's an irrational decision.
That they would lose? Right.
No, no.
That is
your decision. Your decision to... He's insufferable. And your decision not to bet against them,
right,
is an irrational,
sure,
decision.
Absolutely.
Because you could make money if you,
right,
bet against them.
Right.
But you would never do that.
Correct.
That's irrational.
Yep.
Not stupid, irrational.
Yeah.
Okay. Because,
right,
you're making that decision for some other reason.
Right.
So if I then look at you, I would say, okay, now I understand something about Dr. Bernie.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And that's what we're doing with these two extremes, is we're,
right,
trying to understand why people make the decisions. Look at people when they vote.
Yeah.
Many people don't vote their self-interest.
Right.
You know, it makes more sense to vote for this person, but your gut tells you to vote for this person.
Right. You make that decision.
It's an irrational, not
absolutely,
stupid, not, but it's irrational. It's,
right,
an irrational decision.
Not necessarily ill-informed.
No, no, no.
It's just, it's just that you're going with, you're being driven by, mm-hmm, something that's not as concrete, something that's not as,
and there,
grounded,
are people who get into trouble because most of their important life decisions, they trust their gut, mm-hmm, rather than making a list,
right,
of the advantages and disadvantages.
Right,
you know,
absolutely,
we're often told, make a list of the advantages, mm-hmm, and disadvantages so you can think about it rationally. And some people say, oh no, I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
It just feels right.
Yep.
And that can get you into trouble sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works out.
Sometimes it works out, but sometimes it does work against you.
Right.
So,
mm-hmm,
we went a little long today because,
yeah,
we had to tell your story.
Because of the water story.
Your water story.
My geyser story.
Oh. I will always remember whenever I get a call from you at 4:30 in the morning, I will make the rational decision to answer, because who knows?
Well, okay, but in all fairness, who else could I call at 4:15 in the morning? Give me a list.
Hey, look, remember those old, you know, the first thing I was thinking of is, remember those old ads where it was like, you know, who do you want answering the phone at 3:00 in the morning?
It's, that's
like,
right,
I'll answer the phone at 3:00 in the morning.
It's Jake from State Farm.
That's right.
No, I said, I went down a list of all the people I knew that I could call who would be of any value, who would be of any use.
Wait,
I mean, there were a lot of people I could call, but they couldn't do anything.
Wait a minute, how far down the list was I?
Oh, you were at the top. You were. My first thought was, who could do this? I said, there's only one guy who could do this, and that would be Bernie.
All right.
I knew you were awake, and I knew you could be of assistance.
I was on my way already.
And I knew you were in your car somewhere doing right. Pokemon Go or something. So sometimes. Thank you. I can't thank him enough. I don't know how well I'll ever thank him. If I had more children, I'd give him one, but we'll figure out a way. You don't want any more children.
That'd be a thanker.
The gift that keeps on giving. That's right. Okay.
All right. Well, that's it for today. We'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the continuum of proactivity versus reactivity. Right. So that's going to be a great one that we'll talk about tomorrow. So until then, I'm Dr. Bernie.
And I'm still Dr. Richard.
For the most part. You guys stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.